Blog Talk Radio.
A Rez report with Cal Nez for Navajo Prez.
Jack A., we are here with Cal Nez, the businessman candidate for Prez of the Navajo Rez. Cal is engaging grassroots and business people. Mr. Nez, tell us about you.
Cal Nez, Navajo Nation President, 2014. I get that honor.
Elect Cal Nez on August 26th, paid for by the campaign to elect Cal Nez for President of the Navajo Nation.
Hello, Yate are Navajo Nation, Dare Daisunostai. Aroshinareisiokis, Kroe, Hiadan, Hirishnirolish. Today is June 30th, 2014, and we are about maybe 8 weeks out from the Navajo Nation presidential election primary, which is 2014. So we are going to be having these chats on a regular basis from now until August 26th. The call is made out to all of the internet listeners and all the internet participants, and as well as people who are willing to have download and access the message that I will be giving forth in reference to my platform. Again, this is Cal Nez, and I am running for the Navajo Nation presidential seat. So I would like to introduce myself first. My name is Cal Nez. I used to think that was quite kind of an unfortunate situation. But these days, Cal Nez, I am absolutely proud and happy. The fact that I was raised traditionally by my Nalis. And I was raised when I was, I came into their home when I was 8 months old. So literally, they were my parents. I knew very little of my actual biological parents, although I've known my father for quite some time, but I was, it was quite interesting, the arrangement, but nonetheless, I was raised, I do remember being inside of a hogan, looking up and seeing the hole of where, on top of where the smokestack went out. I do remember that. Those are vague, vague memories of my childhood. I remember the dirt floor. I remember the entrance and looking out to the south and seeing Tenajin sitting out there. And so there were some wonderful memories, as well as there were some tragic memories. But nonetheless, here I am. And a are shnalan de hut o a Salt Lake City go ndishne a she are hut o a Pelagana be ketcher aro a are de Pelagana be or in hut ye gibo dis arch that no a are she ilne da ja hut end a ko Salt Lake City go the niao a are na now a kudoit de Quite a nanny cleany, Ado Nishi called Nalni cleany, Nasi cleany. Could I not call the Niao? Eight on Hidi Napa. ad hashin zad eti nask nas uteshijo eshe ad kuroshi yajita nin tishnishta no ekuro feshi chahao tzi e aro ekuro e kuren ni tahndi tah kure hut ego e kondi ni na tne bilhuz ani aro chapter house dan nilko nda asla nda atleko aro nleze dit anhi Washington aja dan nada hon leil aro de kui gushi hut o eid nneva kaan di lo shi ya shi ya wei shi dit no ebe nashni ako aro ishi yeil bisit lo shiro my two sisters and my little brother, I was a cousin of the Kuishi. Joy on a busbihi, J. A. A. Quidda. Salt Lake City Day, Joy Ara Utoi, in Nawal Yay, A. Ara Etilte. Ako Aro A. Dida, a son, Bihin Shnani, Joy A. Kong, a Yo Inshna, Do Kong, a Shastan Hullo, Ako Aro. Bishin Shnani, Joy Afut O E Bansis case. Doba Hainson, a hair lana could oi hut oi. Tragoi, a chin hut oi. A are hut oi, nhinla. Could oi hut oi, a nilza. Koi da huyani does lean. Aro kadin lao da beena. Adish Aro Ajito Bichon Neda has lean a hut oe Nakiko Sani Salit Ahuyani Ako Bits Aro Ek at 18 in his oka Nakiko Ateke Aro Nakiko E Ashika Ako Aron Hia Shia be Hiaj Lotje Sana go hit oe Kesna, niya we shin da nitla. Abut o a d in leda. E so ek at ho nan da naga. E ar hut o ek abagar nati. Ako shin ek at asado kadet na kina ha. E ar hut o ek abagar nati sti. E shi yet on here waiting long hut o ek anaga. A koho kodoi ala ani hutoi buhil zan. Dajan hutin shing hutoin. Join jonago. Taya hut ekuna rado. Could even he kodoi hutoin. Benina chaka inilne. Amani tlini do jani tlini. Aro yitataj jain lini. Aro sata need was to conda. Did it ah. The ne. I drove back with Yehi Dabi Kyo. I also did Kyo with Yehi Dabi Kyo. Joe Edigi. I stuck Kuro Dida, Nakiko Shike, as a hotel in Hana Nutnell. Ta old Yosh Dakye, and long. A corner. In our Yehi, you had to go in it to Lish. You had to go to Aspe against Lado Lish. In our Yehi, you had to go to Lish. Joe Long, a home. Kuroshe, Ashisazini, Ashisazini, Joe Hutoe, Chicago, what AA been in natural Kurohtoe shit, or never caught in dish was, to never caught Baka, and I could kneel chill. Needs to know a corner, Joe Hutoe, Kade Huto, not kneel ze. A call, Ashe Dida, old cut with ye, Kuroi to the Euro, or But la na ni tzino. Arud apis zini. Kon in nawil ye yin nachin hut o ne to leil. Jo e lo hut o. Banil o e jo e hut o e gad kon den hil hos a. A hut o aro a yisa. Dibis in shnari e Yolanda K. Francisco Nez. Hul ya e tkabahan lino. Not creating a yes chi, not creating an edab a chi, not creating an edab a nalle. Eid a aro, zeho, zoro naga. Bamada hullo, State government Uliego Baja Ado City Government State of Utah Aid International United Nations Joy Koyisandashnish Doyisandadnish Dishin Ako Dita Nitlaho Kodo Ehuto E Aja Navajo Nation Nihike Don Hikeya Adon Higandahana Anit Ada Ada Dysonosai Kodo Ehuto in a ka a kid nil chase Kodo Hashin Sogodida Government Eight Hotel Business Uliegi So it asks up the whole town. Could we get on hit the Navajo Nation? So we want the knowledge or yay we want to give back to the Navajo people. Nihi are that is not fine. Nihi are kode kade are shigahin no kagi. Aro heshi to kode to the ahan to the kode people are beginning to discover and wonder. Who chayla olye di kalnez. Chid a nila ne koi bin a hata olye. Njano da da si ta. Jo e huto e lina ne. Kodo huto ba an ti keso. Shido bilhin shnani. Aron khas chine. Aro da an le aje so nan sa. Zidin le je shike do aje. Isto a tina kez. Ta be huto na shid nis ta yet o. Abe shi ha o zia yet o shi ya ji shi we na ha yo na la no e ye jo e to e da e bi isla a ko ko de la in e a ji nan sta to na ni ta ji a ren hi ke ko ji a shi da shi ne fa ni ji jo e ta ne sta ni to to na ho sa o li e e to e shi ke do Shema dan lini, shema yaj dan lini, shijay dan lini. Joy ajabit khatkhatiya. Ako ho aro so konde, so aro relatives. Leid hush tkhahadan goda. E aren huto so khed. Ake nada shnido le. Ako ho e lan huto e la. Ashi ko nke indi ka. Niga hindi ka. Niga hide di tzin sin sahwi ni ta to le. Kong e jo dīdīn na hata ulyē e bāhu nītzīn e āre tā nīgō āre ulto n lē kujo tā chī nī tlān āre ulto tā nāsasā āre tā nīsā nī so jo e kōnda one of the leaders one of the greatest leaders on the Navajo Nation e da ulto āre sūpā nīyā e da āre tā islāns dīdō nā gā e so hato shilnā āsh Nehit oban sin case. Nehit o, tara zibide nika, kunet nehut o e. Kalnez, dilwal. Kalnez, nahata ulyegi, eda nitsin. Nahata ulyegi, lana nitsin. Kurod ashonde, a ulyego konde, anahoti ulyedo tapadil ida. Anahoti ulyegi to which hon egon he could in dad nish. Honasi dish seed it out of his had a deal chidita. No. Aiden, Kahasi, no joy with all beneath nature. Ado sto honde. Joy deed in ne. Hutto eto eight did asa, kudo you told ne. Which I kudo jah his handa no hashing ne. Aria yadas case. Shade of Oban's case. Tana gheira hudishna. Tana gheira tita zita 1 year and a half karanta na kinaha. Ta aare huto eishin hispeda huzzin. Aare da isin ostai. Ta aano sto. Si kei si dne. Si jone. Si kis. Si che. Si na. Si sna aash. Si la. Si zede. Si ma. Eishi da te konde. Ebe da ultan. Nihe e aden hut ego. Joe huto e nihe nashniho. All of you people. Joe huto e, this is the history and the reason why that we, as well as the people on the Navajo Nation, ade hut ego ta o liego ban tisikezgo. Ado usto konde the casualty of how the people are announcing. Navajo way, the very thing that we try to establish, that we have a sovereign nation, and how much do we understand the word sovereignty, and even how much does our leadership, and how much are we willing all of these things. The Navajo Nation has such a potential in the global market. Well, you know what? The people who live on the Navajo Nation, Salt Lake City, Portland, Internet, Denver, Albuquerque, Phoenix, Tucson, California, Las Vegas, I believe that the Navajo Nation can do better. I believe the Navajo Nation has barely started to tap into its potential. I believe the Navajo people, from the first time that I started, I went out and started addressing people at the localized level. The grassroots, those grassroots, I went to them. I'm hearing them. Exactly. That goes back to my family. I'm standing on the side of the highway looking down. Annie Henderson. On the north side. On the northeastern side. I'm going to tell you what, over 35 years ago, I 35 years ago. Atined in the same condition. Well, those are the things that I keep hearing all the way across the Navajo Nation. The major thoroughway, that's only to show you one representation of what the issues and the problems that we are looking for. In the meantime, at Central, at the main, Ye Navajo Nation, Ye Nanhilo Yen, heavy over there. I'm not saying this as a criticism. I'm not talking about the personnel. I'm talking about the system and the way that is set up. When I'm talking about the Navajo Nation government, I'm not talking about the current, about the tribal employees. But it's going to take a courageous and an innovative and a business-minded president who's going to sit in there and analyze exactly these things that are going to streamline the process, that's going to empower the Navajo Nation. That we need to look at this thing and look at the potential of how we can tap into our own innovation so that the roads and the infrastructure begins to blossom. It begins to blossom. And that's just not only just for the main access. I'm talking about the remotest part of the Navajo Nation. I don't believe that the people who've been in there, I don't believe that the people who are serving in these elected capacity have the experience to take a situation and turn it into a fortuitous, into a blossoming nation. Because it's going to require that you got to go out there and identify the money, keep the money, invest the money, and know how to take that money and budget to be able to develop and enhance the infrastructure. Kroedi Kalnes, Joebini Yakonda Dida, And it is, again, I just want to reiterate that because of the sacredness of this position and the sacredness and the seriousness of this position, that I wish to treat it as that because you become a public servant. You become their, in essence, like a father. We'll see, those are the type of things that it's going to require to take a leap. That's the leadership that it needs. And I'll get more into that. De Kalnes, Kalnes, we're having a chat, and I thank you. I'm telling you, I believe I am the only candidate that has over nearly 30 years of business experience And I want to take that knowledge and give to my people. It's not about the money. It's about you. It's not about what has not been done. It is about what are their potential. In about a few minutes, about 1 hour, that's a hitzi. And it's for your opportunity. Already people are starting to listen in. They're calling in. I can see a whole bunch of the board is lighting up. And I'm so absolutely grateful. I had lan atana hoto inli Crown Point chapter hoto eitasitli. I'll tell you more about that. Hoto de kroi kelnes. A chat with Kel Nez for Navajo Nation Prez. And we're on the res. We'll be right back in a few minutes.
I was absolutely
excited and to hear and to remember and to be engaged and to see those every Sunday or every summer. Joy in the net, the sacredness of all of that. I tell you, that was the most incredible thing. Wow, what a culture we have. And those are the type of things that I absolutely honor and think those are the components that should define the Navajo Nation. Not leadership that is going to be looking outside and looking elsewhere for guidance and overlooking our own internal. The Navajo Nation as a resource. We know exactly who and what on these current presidential tickets, who've been there, who and how they basically have governed the Navajo Nation by looking elsewhere to other leaders who are non-Navajos to be able to have the guidance. We know there are people who are engaging and looking at the greater government that is overlooking being a great father to us, so to speak, and making that the primary. In other words, they've been leaders who have been, basically have given themselves as a secondary status. We know that. And that's the absolute fact. I do not believe that. I believe Sheikodo, I as a Navajo, I as a Native American, I as a minority, I've been an advocate here on a statewide scene. I've been an advocate for these minorities, for the Native Americans, for the Navajo people on a statewide. I've been there. Navajo Native American business. That's on record. I've been doing that for nearly 30 years. I'm known for doing that. And those are the type of things, because the equality, it is not about hierarchy. Their, if you know what I'm saying when I say their vision and their government and their words are going to be the one that's going to be coming down. I believe that they also believe that we are on equal grounds, and therefore we should have a dialogue and a communication and to be able to interact on both sides, having and walking away from those meetings and those opportunities to develop the network that is going to be vital for our own interests of what we are there to represent. See, that's a whole different perspective than saying, oh, okay, well, these laws have been done this way, and therefore I guess that's the way it is. Well, you know what? I've been in business long enough that you can take a contract and renegotiate it and refix it. That's how simple that a lot of these issues can be resolved. But because we have leaders that have been in there that just do not understand that process. Karin de Sahashi Udan. You look at their record. By having the expertise to be an attorney doesn't necessarily give you the irresponsibility or the giving away the rights of your people in order to look at what they consider to be the major corporation and a solution to an economic problem. And therefore, sitting on the sideline as a support base to one of the net power, who, by the way, has gone bankrupt, why is it that this one attorney could have gone in there and resolved and helped and given? No. I'm hearing people, everybody, putting on their portfolio, putting on their platform, business. No, why? Because they know you and I, know that they're hearing that I'm sitting here spreading this. We've been talking about this thing for the past 2 years. We haven't been talking about this thing. I haven't been talking about this economic development, business development, believing in Navajo people, believing that the opportunity is the greatest resource. Hasn't just started, just since the campaign season. I've been doing this thing as a representation of my work for the past 27 years. And an effort that, even starting the chamber and continued to trying to run the chamber. Those, I think, are a testament of who and how that I've been trying to make to ensure that the Navajo people can have an opportunity to talk about a new aspect of how that we can grow as a nation. That's what we mean. That is exactly. Cal Ness. That's my name, Pachini, I was born in Shiprock. I'm one of you. I believe that in order to progress, we need to define exactly what it is. That's why I joined the presidential race. And so I'm going to, for those who are joining us, thank you very much. The movement is going, ladies and gentlemen. The movement is on its way. Boy, I tell you, everywhere I've been, and I'll tell you more about that. Again, you're listening to A Chat with Cal Nez on the res for the Navajo Prez against Cal Nez. We'll talk to you just in a bit. Thank you.
A Res Report with Cal Nez for Navajo Prez.
Yes, we are here with Cal Nez, the businessman candidate for Prez of the Navajo Res. Cal is engaging grassroots and business people. Mr. Nez, tell us about you.
Cal Nez, and on here. Kachi in Shido, and the neighbors is Chin Nova, and it is another dog, not Kaden, and it is a chair. The Nebanan, a dog, Tracy, the Argent, and his wife.
He let Cal Nez on August 26th. Paid for by the campaign to elect Cal Nez for president of the Navajo Nation.
This is Cal Nez. You are listening to A Chat on the Res with Cal Nez for Navajo Nation Prez. I would like to, there's a caller on the phone. I wonder if they have a question. We're sitting here. We have a caller, 1995.
Yo, Mr. Calnez, how you doing?
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
My name is Owen Kiyomi, calling here from Toachi, New Mexico. I'm a farm board elected official here at Toachi, who's a former District 14 Council president. And I'm just listening to your campaign here. And I work a lot with Head Start community and a lot of with the education and so forth. And I hear your business background as far as economic development. Now, my extensive travel to Washington and also the Eastern Tribes, visiting and listening to what they have been doing as far as their sovereignty and exercising their right. And I see that on the eastern side, and especially in the Midwest, is that their tribes are so small. They exercise their sovereignty to the fullest extent. I'm wondering why Navajo Nation has not exercised the right. And also, they advocate for education 100% of the time, that whether it be the Senate Hearing Committee on Indian Affairs in Washington, every time I go up there, and just recently with Peter Sinzal, that was there to listen in on behalf of the nation, the topic became was the retention of our bilingual language, the retention of our language and our culture and so forth. And these tribes have advocately been advocating on behalf of all nations. And I'm wondering why isn't the biggest nation isn't up there in that league? Second is veterans issues. We have a vast majority of veterans coming back, and I'm one of them. And why is it that the Navajo Nation isn't prepared for our PTSD, our health care, job employment, the veterans' preference? We hear that from time to time, and services. You know, I'm guessing that the Navajo Nation wasn't prepared for all of that. Neither was the federal government was it prepared for the massive troop layover as far as troops getting out of service. So those are one of the two things that I wanted to touch base with you, and maybe you can emphasize. I know where you're coming at from the business part, but I want to hear other parts too, especially education and veterans. Thank you, Shinata.
Yeah, well, just hang on. Let's have a chat. I really appreciate it. I really mean it. There's other callers that are hanging on the line, and I think you bring up some very, very valid points. Well, you know, first of all, you know, these are the type of things that I'm beginning to see. All the way from southwestern to southern, all over the place, Kayenta, Baby Rocks, Tenahotso, I mean, and so forth and so forth. I want you to know that similar questions, I mean, these are like, there's a top five that I keep hearing. And that is that, you know, two of them you mentioned is education and / sovereignty. And then the other one is veterans. Well, here's my philosophy, okay? In reference to all of the other people, you know, you look at the context. We can go in there and address everyone. And, you know, I mean, we can be here until probably next week talking nearly every second about the issues that are going to be confronting the Navajo Nation. But in the case of Council Delegates, then he gets into your specific real, like, chapter-by-chapter areas and what their needs are. But in the case of running for the Navajo Nation president, you've got to be in a position where you begin to look at the entire of how you fit into the scheme of the globe. You know, who are the jurisdictional issues and how do a lot of those, you know, like for instance, like your nation, and how does that status and the treaty issues? A lot of those, in my opinion, as you look at this thing and you look at people that have gone all the way back, that I've worked with and people that are now running, you know what? I think there is a sense of really unsure and uncertainty on their part. Because if they did fully understand this is what's going to improve our situation. Because our people, although we are covered in three states, you know what? The defining moment and the defining portion of that is going to eventually get to what you're talking about. Well,
okay.
A lot of those tribes on the eastern, all over the place, yes, they have a smaller land base, yeah. Ani, it's true. It's much easier to govern your nation. It's easier to put up one or two business, and that business starts up again profit, and you're able to distribute those funds to your tribal members, and eventually nobody's working anymore. Everybody's living off the dividends. Well, those are really easy things that a lot of people are doing, and you know, and the budget to go on a national level to Washington, D.C., or whatever the funding source might be, it's much easier because you have a such smaller land base slash a smaller population that you don't have, your budget isn't that huge. And rightfully so, it doesn't mean that a smaller tribe or a larger tribe should just sit back and say, well, okay, you know what? A larger tribe also should be taking the lead, standing there and initiating and establishing examples of what could be done. And we are, as a Navajo Nation, we should be in that position. But so far... You know what? We're not even a member of NIGA, or no, the National Congress of American Indian. We're not even a member of that. What does that tell us about our tribe? Well, it might jeopardize some of our funding sources, you know, what have you. It might come down to that. But it shouldn't put us in a position where we're not collectively participating in with all the tribes, because really, we're all Native Americans. It doesn't matter. They look at us as just having feathers and buckskin, and we all live in teepees. That's how they view us. Of course, we know different
over
here.
Well, an interesting comment with Peterson Zoll back in the from 1985 all the way down to 1992 or 93, he did mention that there was one time. And this is what other, I think with the vice chairman of the Oglala Sioux Nation and during that Senate hearing committee meeting that day, was that one time Navajo Nation was real predominant in Washington, D.C. They were really recognizable.
Yep.
They were really known there as far as their leadership skills and advocating on behalf of all Native Americans and then being the leadership role of all Native Americans to follow. And That brings me to my conclusion to where we are right now. Despite whether or not we come in conflict with the Senate, Congress, or even the President of the United States, we still should be a member within those footholds of those organizations that are held. We see the African Americans as far as they're progressing. We see the Hispanics, they progress. We see the Asian Americans, they progress. They stick together, they help one another. I don't see that as far as Native Americans grabbing us as a foothold, as us sticking together and advocating on behalf of not one nation, but all nations. And that Navajo Nation should be taking a part of that. I'm wondering where is that leadership at?
Exactly. Well, that's the same question that I have. And I tell you, you know, it is just baffling to me that I think that Jeanette, you sound very, very articulate. You seem to, rather than just looking at just the Navajo Nation, but how the Navajo Nation fits into the larger scheme of the picture of the Native American community across the United States, if not just all the way up to, you know, I mean, North America as well as South America. You know, we are the largest nation. I don't care what anybody says, and we should be there not to demonstrate arrogance, but I'm saying to be an example and to be a force in all aspect. All aspect. And I believe that we have a land base that we can utilize and a base, a resource of people who are educated, who are awesome, ready to engage and ready to work and to utilize so that we become a leading nation. Yen, Kwege, you know, I hate to say this, but, you know, I mean, this is just the truth. I'm not going to name any names, or I hope that you get the picture. But on a national scene, some of those tribal leaders, and I've heard this, there's no absolute confidence in our leadership from Navajo. If that tells you what other tribes feel about us, that should pretty much answer your question as to why that we're sitting behind and, you know, people just do not have the confidence in the leadership. And, right there's your answer. On the flip side, if we had a president, which I wish that with your vote and others that we can make this thing happen, as your president to stand up there and to give confidence to the Balagana, every aspect of public service, education, veterans, housing, health, all of those, and to say, you know what, I get the picture of what you want us to do. Now give me my 100% sovereignty. That should paint a very clear picture, which is in contrast of what it is looking at the current leadership and past to leadership. Go ahead.
Along those lines, in a similar notion to where we come from, this water pipeline to where it cuts through your community and it cuts through mine here in Tohatchee. This water pipeline that's coming through, wondering why it's so massive and so much water is going to Gallup and other surrounding communities, but why is it cutting straight across where it's not benefiting any Navajos along the way? Same thing with
exactly.
electric wire lines that are going down to Phoenix, to Las Vegas, to California. It bypassed us again. And same thing with this coal mine. It's kind of ironic because we bought our own coal.
Oh.
and
exactly.
I'm wondering why
the Navajo Nation, and you are hitting it right on the button. I mean, there's
the
so many opportunities.
Right now, the grand scale of things right now, that I'm hearing as far as the federal, as far as our president of the United States saying implementing EPA regulations. So what does that say to Navajo generating station? What does it say to the power plants in the Four Corners area? What does that say about us purchasing coal and us exporting it? We say China, but China's going to be under sanctions soon for their air pollutants and quality of air and quality of living. I don't think the Navajo Nation looked that far ahead as to where nationally these decisions do come into play as far as our resources. Now we have our uranium issue. We have multiple wars going on. We're trying to get out of one, and we're going back to another. Believe me, I'll fought both of them. And now we have to look at the bigger picture where we're going to make profit on uranium, or is it going to be the massive health care that our Navajo people are going to face? And compared to the uranium, 55 billion metric tons on uranium belt, from where I live all the way to where you live, all the way up to Farmington, is it really worth it? 100 years of natural resources that we have, and are we going to, you know, consolidate that or hinder that?
Exactly.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, you are, you know, again, I want to just, you know, commend you on these things. I mean, these things require some very much like an open-minded approach to what it is. And you know, it really should be not that complicated. But right now, just like you said, we don't have leader. We do not have leaders that anyone can have confidence in to be able to engage on a real complex skill, a scale of economic development. That's just as simple as that. That's our hindrance. Now, you are absolutely right. Sovereignty, whether it's quasi or limited or whatever it is, the fact of the matter is that we have some sovereignty. Now, a businessman like me would engage and take that opportunity and say, you know what, within this our own resources, our products, our services that are developed in the land, and whatever it is, water, coal, blah, 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 whatever, we should define what it is and define and exercise or export or decide not to export. That's our business, and we ought to dictate that in there. Now, first opportunity, just like what it is, in reference to, like, the contractual. Let me take you one example. The Navajo Nation government has a law, Navajo Business Opportunity Act, which is basically saying that you got to give first opportunity to Navajo businesses to contract with the Navajo business if Navajo Nation money is being used. See, similar formula ought to be used across the board. Water, coal, resources, whatever it is. Let the people decide. If they decide to develop, then move forward. If they don't want to, if the consensus says no, then that should be the case. But if it's a profitable and a business that could, it should go into the Navajo Nation and see how the Navajo people and the nation could benefit from that. Rather than taking that money from central government and yanking it out of the local community's foot, and saying, you know what, I'm going to sell this to Russia or China or Israel. The picture is so distorted that our leadership just does not use and utilize and believe in our own people. The coal is another great example you bring up. I believe that whole thing could have been avoided if we had leadership in there that's basically saying, I'm going to look at the smaller picture and look at the picture by investing in the Navajo people as a resource and take those millions that have been spent on the coal before, during, and after, and imagine how many possible entrepreneurs could have gotten a loan. Right now we don't have that. But instead the government and leadership believes that they need to go run out there and, you know, build a few big name projects, and now that proves that they've, you know, provided a business that's only going to employ, what, 1,500, 2,000? Not to say that those 1,500, 2,000 are important, but why not take the philosophy and put it on a reservation-wide or worldwide that Navajo who wants to get in business on or off the reservation ought to have some sort of an assistant financial. I'm not saying free money, but to invest in our people. You know?
Well,
I mean, it's
just
as simple as that.
The one thing that you bring up on business is the triple taxation of Navajo Nation. Why aren't we offering any incentives as far as Navajo business or any entrepreneur that wants to put up business here on the Navajo Nation?
Yeah.
Navajo. We need to invite other non-Navajos that are willing to invest on the Navajo Nation to provide jobs for the people. Why aren't we doing that? The only non-employer that I see that's non-Navajo is Eddie Bashes that provided, you know, some sort of economic development in these communities, in some, like in Chinle or Monument Valley, these hotel chains and so forth. Some are owned by Navajo, some aren't. So how can we, you know, evolve on that? The triple taxation is crazy. It's ridiculous. You cannot promote business like that. This one lady put up a salon in Window Rock. She survived 1 month after she got what she's supposed to owe to the state, to the federal, and to the Navajo Nation. She took her business to Gallup. Now she operates right there on the by the airport as a barbershop. She's making more profitable money in the city renting out a building and paying city tax
than being on her Navajo Nation.
Than she did than in Window Rock.
Exactly. There you have it. There's another. I mean, we can just go on and on about the disparity in terms of how people really value our people who want to get into business, entrepreneurs, and over the they think every time business there is just as good as any corporation out there. And you know, I heard one time from a leader, he says, you leaders, and the funny thing about it is that he was a self-employed businessman, an attorney, before he became a council delegate. And in the meeting, we're talking about business development. He's the first one standing there on the front line and, challenging me that, you know what, you business people, you just don't have the fortitude to do this. And I just basically looked at listen. And his position was this. We don't have any faith in you business people. Well, you know what? That might be one case, but not every Navajo should suffer from that one person's doing. And not only that, is that she who knows it, oh, dinni. Ako din na rin hudo neta noshini na tani da noshini. Khat isha ibn na konde, dit ane healing in Navajo people, zitito ba de zinoshida. You should be able to give and do everything you can within your power to streamline the opportunities, not just for just the business community. This is for veterans. This is for education. This is for housing and all sorts of things. And you bring up another, it takes us back to what we're talking about, and that is the business. You know, well, the business, if the Navajo, they should be able to get a break. Not only that, if we get a break, will they give us a contract and make NBOA work, and that gives us the incentive to stay home and make us work, or, you know, have us stay there so that the money goes back, even though the Navajo Nation might give the Navajo business the tax break, so we don't have the three taxation. The employees who are working there obviously can pay taxes. Maybe the company doesn't pay taxes, but the people in the spin-off from there, they can pay the taxes. So in a real run, in the long run, it evens out to be about the same. And now, so in essence, if you look at the whole economy, our leaders just do not have faith. And our own people.
I'm glad you brought that up, because when you look at Bill Clinton's economic version, the one he ran as president, is that why are we building more prisons? Why aren't we building more schools? Why aren't we building more clinics?
Exactly.
That's the same emphasis that we're coming into right now. It's why are we building new jails? Why are we building bigger and newer jails in these communities to where they had old? I understand that they're depleted and unsafe and so forth, but we should be investing in more schools, improving our health care system, and vice versa. And when you come into Martin Luther King's philosophy and ideologically, it comes down to where when you see domestic violence, when you see a rise in crime, when you see these bad things happening in communities, that should tell you, that should tell the government that there is a problem to where the individual can't find work. The individual is bored. The individual is not entertained. He's not spending his time wisely, his or her time wisely. When you go to work, you go to work. When you get your money, you get paid, you get spent. When you don't have these jobs, and when you're down on your luck and you can't find anything, or you can't get into school, then you start looking toward other things besides what you should be focusing on. And that was one of the thoughts that Martin Luther King brought to one of his speeches and his rallies down in Alabama and Mississippi, to where he wanted black people to get involved and to get employed and to get educated. And I see the same thing coming here on Navajo Nation. Why are we building more jails while we should be building more schools, improving our schools, and building better hospitals and more hospitals to provide for our people? I don't get
that. Rather than so in other words, what you're saying is that all cases, rather than looking at the symptoms, we should look at what's causing the symptom. It really comes down to that.
Economic development, like you said, there's no jobs here. What is it going to do? The guy is going to go into gout and get drunk. The guy is going to get bored. He or she is going to get bored. She or she is going to lose faith. Everybody has lost faith in the government as it seems as it now. That's the reality of it. Everybody has lost faith in the council. Everybody lost faith in the speaker. Everybody's lost faith in our president. All the things that have came down to the most important thing, the most productive thing that you can do for a government is to inform your people. That's what lacked throughout this administration of the council and the president's office, is to where they didn't inform us. Rangeland Improvement Act, the water crisis that happened in Arizona, the purchase of the coal, the water pipeline from Gallup to Farmington. Nobody was informed. The one thing that you're supposed to do as a leader is to inform your people and let them know what's
your
going on.
Your constituency. Exactly. Yep.
It was just a big fiasco up there in Salie as far as the Rangeland Improvement Act. The reality, as I see it, it's already set in stone. They're just playing to the crowd as far as we'll listen to your concerns, maybe we'll change it. But the fact of your matter is that this thing already went through. It's already set in stone. It seems like they're just playing to the crowd as far as just, you know, getting people's input. I really won't see any change. I don't think that any of the people that were there at Salie did put in their input. I'm not going to see it in paper. It's set in stone is the way I see it. And this Rangeland Improvement Act is just going to go right along with the economic development as far as the grazing member. The person that wants to put up a McDonald's in Chinle can't because the grazing permittee holder, whether he or she has animals, there's just no room for economic development. And no chapter official or no grazing official not have the guts to implement the eminent domain. That's the cause in there for economic development, but no guy or no girl is going to implement the eminent domain on their own people. That's a fact that I have seen here in Tehachapi. As far as any trade, trying to put housing, we have the option of eminent domain, but nobody wants to touch it. Nobody's willing to do that. Because why? They're going to anger the constituents as far as these family communities. Everybody's related to one another. As far as family ties and rich history and so forth. So nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to implement it. And so we're stuck here with no housing. We're stuck here with no economic development. And we're stuck in the Stone Age until this thing is revamped. So that's why I'm saying the Rangeland Improvement Act. I want to hear your thoughts on that as far as your economic development plan.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had recently, you know, these things are all, you know, I guess the best way to describe this, is that we have current leadership that is looking at these opportunities and these worker bees that are in the various different departments. When I've interviewed them here online, you know, they are only addressing, and it's very clear that a lot of these people are only addressing the symptoms. We just talked about that. Rather than looking at the root of the problem, in all cases, you know, I'm not saying that this is the defining factor. What I'm saying is this, is that let's take the Navajo Nation. Navajo Nation, we have a land base. Within the land base, like any business, you have to have land in order to create that business. Whether it's in public or in your residence, you still have to have a place that you can call business, I guess. But whether you're doing it virtual or not, you have to have business. So therefore, in order to address economic development, you got to have land. And when it comes to land on the Navajo Nation, it obviously affects the grazing permit. And in order to bypass that, the Navajo Nation and its leaders and its worker bees have instituted various angles to take the, quote, rights out of the local people by either saying, okay, well, we're going to give you a template, and this template is basically going to either nullify, take away the grazing permit because it says grazing is grazing is grazing, and we're going to then institute that we're going to take that land because you don't have the livestock, nothing to graze on there. And so in other words, in all cases, is that they're addressing this economic development business, economic development issue by looking at it from the land and the owner or the person who has the grazing permit. So that's not the problem. The problem isn't about the grazing permit, because you know what? You know how many people, how many grazing permit people that I've talked to? Lots. They don't like it coming from Window Rock. And I agree. It shouldn't be that way. It should be coming from the localized level. What is it? It should be coming to the people, and you hit it right on the head, and that is that if it's a local issue, therefore, if we're going to spend money, then we ought to address it locally. Now, eminent domain is another method of acquiring land, but you know what? If you knew how to negotiate, if you knew how to apply, you don't need to use that. Because La Nanzi Nikoroya Teo Bakajdo Lord. Coin D, the Dain Nikhe Nachin, Edo Taut Anne, Aron Leha Shinzai, Koroti, Rigini Nachin, Diba the Beminal, Sosi, Yin Ikato, Leshigi, Koroi Bata in Shinoe, the Dita, Ni in Tidole, a coet oit onal sauce, a tated dole, Cadleda, Huto, Adana, the Beminal sauce, Nail sauce, a sot on the Nohodni, Haitoi Ban, Sin case. These are the opportunity. Kodo huto e ko estor ni na ao e ajin huto e na banaz tio. Do you lay you watching? Kujo the rest of your grazing permit e ajin huto e na haz ani e ajin the bedo sheet na kago kujo e business yil waso. But on the base on na haz tido bini na cha kon sheet o be kashi do the pe ajin jono range land do o sa ban nice no ba anda atsiho ya tiho ba ahol niyao. Aron land, you're able, that business is able to give that to you. Ahot osha, eh? Hodo hoto di lan di nido, ajit ashode, nahahuis, ah, shamash jas chase, touch na ash, but that no, but yatu, a corner as kid in the eight then. That's not, those type of plannings are not there. It's as simple as that.
So
when I say it to them like that, when I say it to them, they quit the Mariano Lake, Smith Lake, Smith, yeah, way over there. Odd. They hit over once. I actually lived over there. I never hit dash now. That's how I presented it. Do look here, Hon Janon, he's a Irish case. Nedol, tota. You would think that Taurus, all sorts of things you could make this thing happen. I'm just giving you one example. Presented that way, and they said, wow. Well, it takes a business mind to be able to look at social and private issues and solutions. And it goes back to that. Whether it is coming from Farmington or the Little Colorado River or the aquifers right on the various parts of the Navajo Nation, why do we have a water that's running around on the entire north edge of the Navajo Nation and we have a drought on the Navajo Nation? Something's wrong, seriously wrong with that picture.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is that on this economic development thing, we have I-40, in which the Navajo Nation lies within Arizona as a big stretch of land. We just nicked the I-40 corridor. Just recently, we put up Twin Arrow Casino, I think it needs to be developed more toward an audience, toward the truckers, to outside influence instead of our own people. That's what
Boy, the government is doing.
They're successful at doing that. So why aren't we doing that? So why are we targeting our own people while we should be targeting outside resources? So we have that massive stretch from Lufkin to Twin Arrows Casino. I haven't seen none that hasn't been developed. It's these little chains of gas stations in which we can capitalize on that as far as these truckers going through.
Oh.
The last recent report at the All-India Pueblo Council, where the 19 Pueblos come together in New Mexico, gave a report, is that approximately a little over a million truckers every 6 months that go through I-40. Over a million truckers. That means from Flagstaff to Albuquerque, all the way to Amarillo, or wherever they're going, over a million. That's money just driving on by. So why isn't the Navajo Nation capitalizing on it? Instead of building casinos, why can't we capitalize along that highway? And plus we're getting with this Wingate and Zuni tribal, the Wingate Army Land Depot. Hopefully that's going to be settled soon with Congressman Lujan and our council as to where what we're going to do with that land once we get our portion of it. What are we thinking as far as developing that land? And the other thing, too, economic development, is that where is our hospital? Where is our hospital?
Our brand new hospital,
the Gallup Indian Medical Center at IHS and Gallup. They're telling me that we're going to build it in Wingate. We're going to build it at Menapeace Land. We're going to build it in Delcon. We're going to build it here. Pretty soon, we're going to start saying we'll build it here and there. The money is going to vanish. It's just like when Tehachapi community had the post office. We're trying to figure out where we're going to put this brand new post office. Just then, Katrina hit. Bam! All money diverted all the way toward the disaster. We lost out on that. And it's just going to be this mind game once again as far as veteran services. Where's it going to be our veterans hospital? Are we going to get our care at the IHS Center? Where's going to be the IHS Center going to be located? And this thing is going to be a massive trauma center like the one we have in Albuquerque. We're going to have the same thing in Gallup. But where are we going to have that?
Well, you know, you absolutely, you know, again, hitting on some very, very, very important key. And it goes back to the who should be in that capacity in the leadership from the executive office to legislative to even the judicial branch, economic development, and so forth and so forth, who are either appointed or elected. You know what? They should be able to And for somebody to engage and to think that, you know what, we could be our internal, we could utilize our internal resources to develop the money. The money. Well, you know, and it goes to, let's take for instance, you talk about the, I'll first talk about the health care. You know, the 638, you know, it's not only just now in Asia, it's everywhere. The 638, if people really understood that, I think they probably think twice about taking on the 638. Whether it's 638 or IHS or private clinic or anything like that, hatisha beninna to e chango dide aze ahad inja kompish nada haz ada. Okay, that's number one. The Shiprock then that is Dao or Shiprock Agency. If you want to have health care, you got to drive all the way to Shiprock. Are to the Ado Hue Ato Ado Sanati Loro Late Less Nada Zinosano. Where do you go for health care in Tohatchi?
I actually go to Rehoboth.
Okay, which is in Gallup.
But Tohatchi does have a decent clinic, but it's contract care, not primary care. I want primary care for my daughter and for my wife and for myself.
Yeah.
I want to go in to see the same doctor. If, for instance, we had a well-known doctor here in Tohatchi named Dr. Buffalo that has been here for 20 years, knows each che, each shenele, the mountain, the jere. He knows their symptoms. He knows what's wrong with them. He knows the family. That's primary care, knowing your patients. But right now, what's going on with IHS is contract care. We get one individual that's straight out of wherever he or she graduated from, and then they leave. And then another a person comes in another 30 days later and then leaves again. I don't want that kind of care. I want primary care. That's why I go to Rehoboth, where I have a specific doctor that I see, my family sees, and so forth.
Yeah.
So
well, let me give you. Let me give you another dimension, Chinantara. Let me give you another dimension. True, 638 primary or contract, whatever type of health care there is on the Navajo Nation. We know they all need revisited. They need to be revisited, revamped, refixed, done all of that, improve all sorts of things. But here's my question. And I'll tell you what. This is what people, you listen to the other candidates, they just don't have the vision like I do for them to undertake and even think to this extent. And I will say that. You listen to this. One of the candidates from Shiprock put on his resume, the first card that I got, he didn't have business on there. And the next time, the same card, and he taught him back, private businessman. And I started investigating, come to find the guy never operated a business, and nothing. He doesn't even own. So it's now a lingo. I bet you, I'll give you this question. The question is this, and it comes back into healthcare and using business model as a basis to impact all aspects of social needs. You bring up that doctors done leaning. Navajo Nation medical care, the nigo, the nekodo, betis, nagagi, betis, ba ahayani. Hatisha ibn nakoro yego, dainos, hat doctor, da da do se. Aden ha naiso ko IHS, but they no snish. I would rather change that method and say, why the question should be is that how come we don't have on the Navajo Nation a facilities along all the corridors in every aspect or every chapter, a private Navajo doctor with its own office and its own clientele that is not operated by IHS 638 or anything like that, because a doctor is a doctor is a doctor, and a businessman is a businessman, and a businessman, both of them sell a service and a product. They have a clientele no different than when you come to Salt Lake City or Albuquerque. You have a major doctor. You can go down and you can have your own pediatrician, your own doctor, family doctor, so forth and so forth. And why do we only come to the Navajo Nation and only think that government should be the only one that should be in charge of health care? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, the only reason why I bring that up, because a couple of years ago, that was the main emphasis on these communities, is to where the insurance comes into the part of it. A lot of the elderly didn't understand what Obamacare meant and what this federal action meant. Will they still get the care that they need, or will they start have to be paying for it, or will they start having to apply? Can they still go to IHS? Can you see other doctors elsewhere? A lot of this information, it kind of got rocky to where nobody knew the correct answer, not until now. So that's why I bring up healthcare. When it comes,
well,
push comes to shove, when you get your insurance, when you pay IHS or when you pay 638 and you use your insurance, you're paying for that care. But when you don't get that care, it's kind of like you're going to take your business elsewhere to a doctor that's going to fit your needs,
there you go,
cater to your needs, and it relies all on the wait time and the services that you get as far as prescription. So that's why I go to Real Whole With, because if I'm going to pay for something, I want to be treated as such.
Oh.
You know, I'm spending money to get that care, and if you're not getting that care,
exactly.
I'm going to take my
and
money.
People are willing to pay top dollars for a good one-on-one care. I agree with you. So perfect discussion, perfect input, and we have about 2 minutes left. And call in again, pass the word. We're going to have discussions. There's going to be so many more things that we're going to cover, and I'll do my closeout. And you and I are on the same page, and these are some of the serious issues that we need to undertake. Again, call in. We'll probably have about two nights that we're going to let this go. We'll be on air again, and you can continue to air your, and we'll show the contrast. What really makes us different than all the other candidates. So again, ladies and gentlemen, for all those listeners out there, thank you very much. And I hope that you are beginning to see that some of the exploration, some of the ideas that are going to be coming from you are really as simplistic as taking and addressing. Think about that, and I will go to town. I will go anywhere to make this thing, to make this plan so that it does work. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Again, the movement is going on. All and everybody. Thank you very much. Again, it's Cal Nez. We'll see you next week.
A Res Report with Cal Nez for Navajo Prez.
Yes, we are here with Cal Nez, the businessman candidate for Prez of the Navajo Res. Cal is engaging grassroots and business people. Mr. Nez, tell us about
you. August 26th, which is gorgeous. Ani Hanan Otani Rakin Noka Cal Mez, the Navajo Nation President, 2014. Akihalan.
Elect Cal Mez on August 26th. Paid for by the campaign to elect Cal Mez for President of the Navajo Nation.